There's a story about a Buddhist family who were hosts to a Jewish rabbi from Moscow during the Christmas holidays. To treat the rabbi to a culinary experience probably not available to him in his own country, the family decided to take the rabbi to a Chinese restaurant. After an enjoyable meal and pleasant conversation, the waiter brought the check and presented each person at the table with a small brass Christmas ornament as a complimentary gift. Everyone laughed when one of the family members turned the ornament over and it read on the label, "Made in India." Their laughter quickly subsided, however, when they realized that there were tears running down the rabbi's cheeks. Someone asked if the rabbi, if he were offended at having been given a gift for a Christian holiday. Smiling, the rabbi shook his head and answered, "No, I was shedding tears of joy to be in such a country in which a Buddhist gives a Jew a Christmas gift made by a Hindu." Well, my friends, one of the darker sides of our humanity is our tendency to be exclusive. We build our own little world, and God help those who disturb it. We also tend to join exclusive groups. New members are only grudgingly accommodated. In our first reading, the prophet Isaiah, speaking for God, says this: "All who join themselves to the Lord will be brought to my holy mountain." God reveals that the temple will be a house of prayer for all peoples. In other words, everyone belongs to each other because each belongs to God. God's kingdom is for all. There are no exceptions. And as the gospel passage begins, Jesus had left Galilee for a non-Jewish region around the towns of Tyre and Sidon for a little rest and relaxation. Obviously, Jesus' plan didn't work out, because no sooner does he arrive there than he finds himself set upon by a Canaanite woman who seeks a healing for her daughter. She's got everything going against her. She's a woman in a male-dominated society, a Gentile venturing into Jewish territory. She has a troubled daughter with a serious illness. And of one thing she is certain: Jesus can help her child. And because of her profound love for her daughter, she knows, as any parent of a child with a disability knows, that she desperately needs help for herself, if she is able to continue care for her child. So despite the fact that she is a Gentile, she shouts her faith-filled words at Jesus, proclaiming him as Lord, Son of David. Along with having character, the woman must have been quite a character. And Jesus probably did what most of us might do. He didn't react to the woman. He just walked on, trying to get rid of her. But the woman continued following him, and the situation became more embarrassing. So the disciple says, "Jesus, please do something about her. Give her what she wants, just to shut her up." But Jesus says out loud what the disciples were probably thinking. Jesus tells the woman he has come to reach only to the people of Israel. So why should he worry about a Gentile? And then, in an unusual twist, Jesus has a sharp but playful exchange of words with the woman. He responds with a remark that in our culture would be seen as rather degrading and insulting. "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But the woman has no intention of letting him off the hook. So rather than turning away or returning insult for insult, the mother redirects her rage, finding clever words and remaining respectful to Jesus. Even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. Touché. She has made her point. The Canaanite woman we hear about today is the only person in the gospel who gets the better of Jesus in an argument. And Jesus just stands there amazed at her quick wit, her persistence, and her evident faith in him. Finally, her persistence pays off. Even Jesus knows when he's lost an argument. So he does the gracious thing and concedes, and then sends the woman off with the healing she requests for her daughter. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish. Her daughter is healed. My friends, so then what are we to make of all this? Well, Jesus uses the gospel to show that, yes, there is a place in God's house for people of every race and nation, and that his mission includes not only his own people, Israel, but also outsiders like the Canaanite woman and her daughter. Yet it took such a woman of faith to bring that truth to its obvious and necessary conclusion. It's also an example of Jesus' total humility as he moves, if you will, from being master and teacher to disciple and student. Jesus shows that he is willing to learn a lesson in life about God's salvation from a noisy and bothersome Gentile woman who now becomes his teacher. Brothers and sisters, I think most of us here would probably consider ourselves fair-minded and unbiased and not bigots or racists. But if we're honest, if we're really honest with ourselves, we would probably recognize times we have treated people as if they were little less than human because they didn't possess some quality or ingredient that we consider necessary. A lot of times we underestimate people because they are somehow different. We treat them as inferiors because they don't quite measure up to what we think they should or should not be. This gospel story is a great story, but a painful lesson for all of us. Yes, painful because the goal for us has to be the image of Isaiah in the first reading. My house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples, which means a home for us all. What remains, though, is for us to honestly examine our own lives and ask ourselves if there is room in our house and in our hearts for all people. Can we accept those who are different? Are we willing to love those we've been taught to despise because they may be more like us than we realize? Brothers and sisters, our vision needs to be expansive enough to realize that we all belong to one another. And that, in fact, in the eyes of God, there is no separation because God's mercy excludes no one. My friends, using today's disquieting image in the gospel, we all might ask ourselves again a potentially embarrassing question. Exactly who and where are the hungry dogs barking under our own banquet tables? And listen closely to Jesus' response. Amen.